Our final Merry Christmas and Happy New Year for 2022 comes with an Americanon manga review of Overlord Volume 2. What's going on, everybody? HVK here with another Americanon, and as I have already said, I'm going to be reviewing Overlord Volume 2, which, as I reviewed in Volume 1, just a quick recap, is a story about a guy who has been playing an online multiplayer RPG for quite some time. That is being shut down, stays logged into the game for when the servers finally turn off, and they never turn off. And it turns out that he is stuck in the game, and he decides to go out exploring, figuring out how he was stuck and what exactly this world makes up, because it is not the same world that the game actually took place in. So Volume 2 starts with him donning this disguise as the Dark Swordsman or the Dark Warrior, and he just goes out there with the name Momon, and he literally, the entire issue sets up this conflict that's going to exist between him, this necromancer, this evil swordsman girl. We see that there is perhaps some conflict brewing with some of the NPCs that occupy his guild hall that may or may not be vying for his affection at this point. And from his end, he is literally doing like the standard adventurer thing. So we already know that he's a very high level character because he still looks at things through the lens of this being a game, right? And he, talks about things like spells in terms of tiering and weapons in terms of their overall power level and everything like that. And the world doesn't quite operate that way. Even though he is very, very powerful, he's still a nobody. So he decides to go and be an adventurer, and adventurers have what are called plates, which are effectively dog tags. And he's starting out as a bronze plate, bronze, iron, copper, silver, gold, platinum, obsidian, and mithril, or something else, something to that effect. I'd have to look back at it. So he's starting out at the absolute lowest tier, and it, to anyone who's ever played World of Warcraft or Guild Wars or perhaps even Final Fantasy 14, Dungeons and Dragons, it literally is playing out exactly like that. He goes to basically an adventurer board that they're just hiring people to do jobs, and takes a job, gets together with this party of people, goes out and does the job. It gets eventually learned and revealed that one of the people in the party knows who he is and understands that he is somebody far more powerful than he lets on. And it kind of goes on from there, setting up the conflict moving forward. So Volume 2 is still basically entirely world building. And it is interesting because the fact that they, I wasn't sure how I felt about it in Volume 1, where they kind of removed him from the world, the game being called Yggdrasil, and then kind of having removed it from that world and put him in a new world, which, as I'm reading through Volume 2, I guess sort of makes sense, because then otherwise he would know everything about how everything works, because he's played this game for 12 years, and it kind of would take out some of that adventurism element to it, because I was like, well, you just took him out of a world that we didn't know anything about, and you put him in this new world that we also know nothing about, so what about the original world that we knew nothing about? Well, I guess it kind of works here, because the player, or the lead character, Momon, also knows nothing about it as well. So we're getting introduced to certain new characters. There's really not too much conflict that happens here. It's just more build-up. It is Momon getting, as I said, he's coming into conflict with this necromancer and this very dangerous, sadistic swordswoman that seems to either be working with him or in his employ. And without going into too much spoiler stuff, that's kind of where things leave off. And it's a good start still. I feel like the first chapter did a very headlong rush to get to this point. And then this, the first volume feels like it's entirely backstory, and this one feels like it's entirely set up to start the spiraling of events that will create future conflicts to move the story along. So there's really not too much actual story to review because it is all set up. It's well done, but I think the thing that really steals it for me, and I do plan on reading it, I already have volume 3, so I need to continue with that, is the artwork. The artwork is particularly good with faces. There's a couple of really, like, when they want a character to seem unhinged and unsettling, they are really good, whoever the artist is, whose name I am definitely going to butcher here, Hugen Miyama. Again, I apologize, I probably butchered that, but this artist is really good, and I don't know if it's a male or female, that's why I say this artist. This artist is really good at giving you that psycho look, because even characters like Albedo, right, the succubus that is in love with the lead character, Aynes, she will, every once in a while, will have like this crazy moment, and her eyes will just, it's just really well done. It's hard to explain without you actually looking at it, and you'd be like, oh yeah, this bitch crazy. We get that with a lot of these characters. When a character is meant to be unhinged, dark, sadistic, whatever it might be, they really do draw it in a way that it looks really good. The only real complaint I continually have, I guess, with a lot of the mangas, and I understand that they don't do this because they keep costs down, is I really wish it was colored. You know, there are times I'm reading this and I'm like, man, this would look, some of this artwork would look really, really good if it had some color to it. And it just doesn't. And I understand that that's kind of the style. Manga's nearly always in black and white, and he helps keep costs down and this, that, and the other thing. But there are just a couple of scenes that especially then I'm like, man, I really wish this was in color. There's some good humor scenes. It's not really a humor book, but they do a good job of injecting humor in places where you wouldn't normally expect it. For example, the job that they go out there for is to deal with some dangerous beast, let's just call it that way. And it turns out this dangerous beast is a giant hamster that they end up taming and using as a mount and riding. And it's just funny because this lead character who's used to playing in a game and being like completely super powerful and probably having all of this stuff at their disposal is now, in his own words, it's embarrassing because he's reduced to riding a giant hamster. But to everyone in the world, again, he talks about it, he's like, I don't know what passes for a standard in this world. I have to figure it out. Everybody's like wildly impressed that he has this thing. So it's just kind of funny because to him, it's like, this is embarrassing. And to everyone around him, it's like, oh my God, look at what he accomplished. And again, that's humor. It's almost like it's written by D&D nerds for D&D nerds, because this is all the sort of, you know, standard, almost cliched adventurism kind of humor that you would get. So I'm going to read volume 3. I'm liking it so far. I'm not going to say that I'm completely hooked, but I like the premise as a longtime D&D and WoW player. I love the premise of being trapped inside these fantasy games that you play and then having to actually try to live and survive in these sorts of things, even if you're a very powerful wizard, as Aynes or Momon, whichever name you want to use for him, obviously is. But there's still certain trials and tribulations that he has to overcome because he's just completely, he's a fish out of water. He's completely unknown into what he's dealing with inside this world. So that's our little Overlord Volume 2 review. Not much to say about it. Like I said, I'm really big on story and writing typically, and this was all just setup. It was good setup. It was solid setup, and I'm interested in moving forward. So I do recommend it, but it's not a strong, like, oh my God, you got to read this kind of thing. I'll have to wait and see how it develops in Volume 3, I think, before I really start to get into whether or not how I feel about the story and the direction it's going overall. So that's it for me. I'm HVK. You guys take it easy. Carry on.